Titled sermon this afternoon is Nehemiah Defends the Sabbath Day. Hear now the inspired words of the living God. Nehemiah chapter 13, we'll pick up with verse 15. In those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods, and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What evil thing is this that you do, by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do this? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath." So it was at the gates of Jerusalem, as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut, and charged that they must not be opened until after the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gates, so that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day. Now the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. Then I warned them and said to them, "Why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you." From that time on, they came no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should go and guard the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of your mercy. And we're encouraged when we read the Word of God by Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Our prayer today is that God would bless the reading, the hearing, and the application of His perfect and holy word. Amen. Well, our last time together, we were continuing to trace the Sabbath day through the Scriptures, following that chronological approach, starting at the beginning and just working our way through the Scriptures. And we ended last time with Leviticus chapter 23 with a summary of the different kinds of Sabbath days that there were. Sabbath once a year. Sometimes we didn't actually get to Sabbath years that were set aside, but you got the idea that there are many different kinds of Sabbaths in the Scriptures. And we're now coming to the prophets, and we're going to go much too quickly through the prophets and the use of the Sabbath day, and really surveying them to try to, we want to arrive today with Nehemiah and see his perspective on the Sabbath. What we want to see today are the reforms that took place under Nehemiah. And then we want to make some applications regarding the civil magistrate, the parent, the business owner, as we look to the superiors, inferiors, and equals that are referred to in the larger catechism. We're not going to get there today. I want to spend the time on Nehemiah today. Next time we'll pick up expounding on question 118 of the larger catechism. So this is a groundwork for next time. We'll look at the actual duties of superiors, inferiors, and equals on the Sabbath day. But this is a very good preparation for that. Because the application really of the fourth commandment is inseparably connected to the fifth commandment. And you see that in the passage in which we've read today, Nehemiah is a governor, and he is making sure that the Sabbath day is honored for those who are under his rule. And that's the primary focus of the fifth commandment. Let's look first at the reforms of Nehemiah. I'm going to go through this, but I'll need to do that. I'm going to need to give you some background on the prophets up until this point. Israel had always tended toward a neglect of the Sabbath day. We've seen that so far in the time that we've spent in the Old Testament. But what we're doing today is we're actually skipping ahead to Nehemiah's time. Remember that Nehemiah comes after the destruction of Israel and Judah. This is now the time of rebuilding. Well, why were they destroyed? Why did they come to the place where they were overtaken by the Assyrians and the Babylonians? And we're going to see some passages that show us that the violation of the Sabbath day was part of their sin against God. So now we see Nehemiah rebuilding, and it's very interesting to see Nehemiah's response. Don't you remember what happened? And yet you're once again trying to violate and discard the Sabbath day. So let's catch up on our history a bit to where we are with Nehemiah. Now, we saw already with Isaiah 58:13, we looked at that passage and we saw that God did not want us to trample upon the day. Remember, don't withdraw your foot from the Sabbath day. We did that on the first week of our series. Let's pick up now with Isaiah chapter 56. You can turn there if you like, or I have the text here. So, in Isaiah now, Isaiah mentions the Sabbath day and the keeping of that day. So remember, we're preparing for Nehemiah. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. So it's very interesting there that just a broad statement of not doing evil, but also don't violate the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is like drawn out as this special sign then of God's people. And we're going to see that. Verse 3 of Isaiah 56. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, and choose what pleases me, and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast to my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Now, that's interesting. If we had the time really to unpack that passage, it's amazing how often that keeping the Sabbath is used as a way of demonstrating that we are different from the world. We're different from the world. And that's one of the ways that we show that is by the keeping of the Sabbath. It's singled out as a way to see that. And we move ahead to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 19. And this is one of the proof texts for the larger catechism question we're going to get to next week. So listen to Jeremiah in verse 19, chapter 17. Thus says the Lord to me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, by which the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. So this is a number of years after the passages that we've looked at already in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus. We're now much further ahead in Jeremiah. But they did not obey in verse 23, nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it came to be, if you heed me carefully, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work in it, then shall enter the gates of this city kings and princes, sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. Now, that's an interesting thing to say, because this is Jeremiah speaking, and eventually the city of Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. Right? And what's one of the reasons then that the city of Jerusalem was destroyed? Profaning Sabbath day. Very, very good connection there. And there came, verse 26, a couple more verses here, and they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin and from the lowland, from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices or praises to the house of the Lord. But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates and shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Okay, so we're coming to Nehemiah today, and Nehemiah is about the rebuilding of a city that was destroyed as a direct connection to violation of the Sabbath day from Jeremiah 17. Now, I want to just throw in another passage here before we get to Nehemiah's, a little bit more with Nehemiah, Ezekiel 22:26. Could spend some time on this passage, but I'm going to go over it kind of quickly. Ezekiel 22:26, her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. Now, for our purposes today, what's the holy thing that we're talking about violating today? The Sabbath itself, right? Well, look at what is said here about these priests in Ezekiel 22. They have not distinguished between the holy and unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. They have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths. So there's a direct connection there with Sabbaths, with the priests not knowing the difference, and also with not knowing the difference between things that are holy and things that are common. And also says here, so that I am profane among them. Whenever we forget the difference between the holy and the common, we profane the Lord. That's not a light thing. That's not something that we should move over quickly. That's a pretty big deal, profaning the Lord. And this really then, Ezekiel 22, is really the heart of our defense of the Sabbath day. It's an attempt then to distinguish what is holy and set apart from that which is common. The Sabbath day is not a common day. It's set apart and it's different. And we see here in throughout the prophets, and again we're moving much too quickly through the prophets, but you can see examples here that the Lord is upset and angry with his children for violating the Sabbath day. It's not something that we read in Genesis and we don't read it again until the commandments and then it's forgotten. The Lord is angry with his people because they've forgotten the day. That's very clear from the Old Testament prophets. I think, honestly, in a point of application, and one of the reasons that we have such a hard time with the Sabbath itself is linked here to Ezekiel 22, is because we really are naturally more comfortable with the profane and the common than we are with the holy. We're naturally more comfortable with the common day than we are with the day that's set apart. The Sabbath, and it's by its very nature, is fighting against our nature. It's tugging against us, or our nature is tugging against it, because we don't want to keep things holy because we don't like holy things. Now we have to admit that. That's a point of confession for us. That things that are holy make us nervous. And you see that in the New Testament as well. Whenever Jesus displayed His holiness to His disciples, what did they want to do? They wanted to leave. They didn't want to be in His presence on several occasions when His holiness and His power and His nature is revealed. That just makes us really nervous. And we see this in the disciples. Sometimes it's a little worse than our not being comfortable around the holy. Sometimes we actually love the profane more than the holy. So it's one step further. Not only does it just make us uncomfortable, sometimes we long for the unholy. We long for the common and the profane. And it's a very interesting thing. When you start talking to people, Christian friends or family members, about the Sabbath day, you're going to make someone mad at you. You will. It's a controversial subject. And it's sad that it is a controversial subject, and we have to present it when I'm preaching through this series as though we're defending the day. And that's a sad thing. It really is. But let's just be honest that even those of us who love the Sabbath day, we still are drawn toward the profane, and we still don't keep the Sabbath day as we ought. Okay, so that brings us up to Nehemiah's time, and Israel had been returned after the Babylonian captivity. And it's very interesting. We're not going to go into Nehemiah 10. Here's your homework for the week. I want you to read Nehemiah chapter 10. This is preparation for the sermon. Okay? You can read this for next week as we get ready for the superiors, inferiors, and equals. In Nehemiah chapter 10, the people of God make a covenant before the Lord that they'll keep the Sabbath. So it's so interesting then when Nehemiah comes along later down the road and chapter 13, the people are violating the Sabbath already by that point. I will read just a section here of chapter 10 too. I can't help myself. So, now the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, and the gatekeepers, the singers, the Nethinim, and all those who had separated themselves from the people of the lands to the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone who had knowledge and understanding, these joined with their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses and the servant of God, and to observe and to do all the commandments of the Lord our Lord, and His ordinances and His statutes. Now, the Sabbath is often a sign of separation from the world. God's people keep the Sabbath, the world does not, even though they're commanded to. Now listen to verse 30 of Nehemiah 10 that I couldn't help myself from reading. I told you that was your homework and I'm doing it for you. We would not give our daughters as wives to the peoples of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. If the peoples of the land brought wares or any grain to sell on the Sabbath day, we would not buy it from them on the Sabbath or on a holy day. And we would forego the 7th year's produce in the exacting of every debt. So they're promising not to buy stuff from pagans on the Sabbath day. And yet, what did we just read is happening in Nehemiah chapter 13? They're buying stuff from pagans on the Sabbath day, from chapter 10 to chapter 13. And by the time we get to chapter 13, the people of God had already forgotten their promises to God. And this is something that we read in the scriptures and we kind of shake our head and we think to ourselves, man, it's a good thing that we never forget our promises to God. Right? We do this quite commonly. The promises that we make to God, over time, they just tend to evaporate. We forget the oaths and the vows that we've made. So we see this in ourselves. So Nehemiah arrives. He's the former cupbearer of King Artaxerxes in Persia. And he's the civil magistrate who's enacting reformation, basically, throughout the city, calling for repentance in idolatry and calling for repentance from intermarrying with non-Israelites. And he's wanting to reestablish the Sabbath observance. And so we come to that now, verse 15 of Nehemiah 13. Let's look to that verse once again and go through this and finish up our time in this today. Verse 15, in those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath. Again, they had promised not to do these things, and now they are. And bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. So this commerce that is here mentioned in Nehemiah 13 was strictly forbidden on the Sabbath day. Here are the people of God. They've returned from captivity. They've been given many great blessings from God. God is fulfilling many prophecies that speak of, once again, God having favor upon His people as they're returning to the land. They've been given favor by God in the graciousness of the Persians, really, in allowing the people to return to their land. And we saw, if we do the back, a little more background here, that they were allowed to return and they were favored because of Nehemiah and other men. They had promised here already in chapter 10 that they would honor the Sabbath. And yet here we arrive in chapter 13 reading about God's people profaning Sabbath. Now, the question is, and you already know the answer, is there a lesson here for God's people today in Nehemiah 13? Do we have anything to learn from Nehemiah in chapter 13? We do. Of all people in the world, we have seen the blessings of God poured out from heaven upon us. Now, we just recounted the blessings of the people of Israel who forgot the Sabbath. Let's recount our blessings and wonder why we've forgotten the Sabbath. Of all people in the world, we have the greatest abundance of food and wealth, of property, of information, of free time and luxury that the world has never known up until this time. And yet we as a people have made less effort to honor the Sabbath than any other people in history. And that's a shocking thing to think about. With all of our blessings, we should be the strongest and the first in line to honor the Sabbath, acknowledging the fact that our God has blessed us. And it is quite ironic that a people so wealthy as ourselves, and I'm speaking of our nation, so bathed in extravagance and blessing, that we would be so easily fooled into thinking that every moment of time in our life must be filled with some kind of entertainment, some kind of thing to be doing, some kind of thing other than anything holy. It makes it even harder to understand, because in our day we have more ways to read and listen to God's Word than at any time in history. We have more benefits to encourage us toward that work than at any other time in history. We have more medicines to protect our health, to extend our lives. We have more knowledge to prepare our hearts. We have more access to preaching. We have more means to give to the kingdom of God. We have more wealth. We have more freedom. We have more time. We have time and freedom to gather and assemble that many nations around the world have no understanding of. We have more transportation to carry us from place to place in a quicker amount of time than in any time in history. We have more wisdom to gather from past generations, and more books available for us to read, more time on the Lord's Day. And yet we as a nation cannot find the time or the inclination to honor the Lord's Day. When you put it in that kind of context, we in many ways are worse than the people of God from Nehemiah 10 to Nehemiah 13. We see ourselves certainly in Nehemiah 13. Look at the last half of this verse 15. Nehemiah says, I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. So then Nehemiah, as having some kind of authority there, over the people of God, he stands up and he makes a statement and he defends the Lord's Day. I love the fact that as I'm reading this, that Nehemiah gets mad about violating the Sabbath day, and he gets upset about it. And he speaks his mind. And he goes right up to those who would profane the Sabbath. And he first of all testifies to the leaders. But he also walks up to those who are themselves violating the Sabbath day. And look at how the passage words it. I mean, I love this passage. I love Nehemiah. I mean, this is a boost to our confidence and our strength as we defend the Sabbath day. Nehemiah says he's going to put his hands on them if they don't leave. I love this kind of passage. I pointed this out when we read Psalm. We were reading and studying Psalm 3. But today, when Christians are so weak and so hard to stand up for themselves and for the Word of God, I love to see a man like Nehemiah who stood up for the Word of God. And how much more so ought we to do the same thing? Nehemiah is a great example of that and an encouragement to us. I can kind of play the scenario out in my head to see him confronting these folks at the gate. Of course, then we want to see Nehemiah today as a man of office. He had a particular role. He's among the civil magistrates, and he's performing his duty in protecting the people of God from the sin of Sabbath desecration. See, if you know, and you've read the prophets at this point, don't you know what's going to happen when you violate the Sabbath? You've already seen it happen. So in a very real sense, now let's fast forward to today, when we get next week to the application of the superiors, inferiors, and equals, and what are our roles as parents or business owners, whatever they are. There are consequences to violating the Lord's day. There are consequences to it. And we are then protecting the people we love when we encourage them to keep the Sabbath. So fathers, you're protecting your children when you encourage them to keep the Sabbath day. And the Word of God directly informs us of that here in Nehemiah 13. So we do need to be careful, though, about stepping outside of our place and our station. Okay, we're not, I don't think any of us are. We're not civil magistrates. I'm not a governor or a president. I have no real authority. But I do have a place and a station over my own family. I have a place and a station in the church. And so then it's my responsibility, and we'll see more of this next week, to protect those people whom God has placed under my authority. And the question for you and I today and for next week is, will we be like Nehemiah? You know, here's a direct connection. Will we stand up and exercise our authority to honor the law of God? And you have an authority. It may not be what Nehemiah's is, but you have someone under your authority. Will you do that? That's what God has called us to in Nehemiah 13. Now, we have to be very careful, though. We can go. We have the freedom to go stand in front of Washington, D.C., or wherever we want to go, and we can say, we'll bring back the laws to protect the Sabbath. And, you know, they may not pay attention to us, but we have the freedom to do that. But we don't have any authority to go then, you know, to burn a building down or to cause some sort of riot or some sort of outside of our authority. We don't have authority to do that. Keep within your place and station, and we'll expound on that more next week. Look at verse 16. Continue our way through Nehemiah 13. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Now this passage is a great concern to us that the men of Tyre were doing business on the Sabbath day. But the greatest concern in this passage is who they were doing business with. It was with the people of God. The traders traveled for miles and miles because they knew that the children of God were ready and willing with open arms to buy their stuff. So they don't go to the pagans who don't have a Sabbath day. They go to the children of Israel who are not honoring their holy day. The pagans knew where to go. They knew how to get there, and they knew what would happen when they arrived. And this really is the greatest concern for us in our day. It's not so much that the world has rejected a particular day that they are bound to keep, the Lord's Day, but that the people of God have abandoned the holy day of the Lord. How sad it is that the people of God have become the ones violating the Sabbath with the men of Tyre. We don't have to look far to find the modern application today. The people of God are the first in line when the mall opens on the Lord's Day, and they're the last to leave. And that's a truth. Christians are the most open violators of this day around our nation. And we participated in this, and it's time for us to have a repentance, God's people to return to honoring the Lord's Day. And that should be our cry out to our generation. Earl Dabney says, "All the world except the Hebrews had gone off into idolatry, neglecting all God's laws and also the proper observance of His Sabbath. The covenant which Israel made with Him was to be separate from all the pagans and to obey His law, so neglected by them. Now the public observance of the Sabbath gave the most obvious, general, visible sign to the world of the church, of His covenant, and of the difference between God's people and pagans. Hence, it was eminently suitable as a sign of that covenant. The human race is still divided between the world and the church. The Holy Sabbath observance ought to be precisely such a sign of the church's relation to her God now. This simple view relieves the whole question. The general apostasy of the nations made this duty of visible Sabbath keeping, which God enjoins on all men and in all ages, a badge and mark of those who still fear Him." I think that that's brilliant. That is so well said, that the Sabbath is still a sign of the difference between God's people and the people of the world. Look at verse 17. "Then," Nehemiah says, "I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, 'What evil thing is this that you do, by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do thus? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath.'" So Nehemiah takes his opposition to the next level. Here he goes to the nobles of Judah and he reminds them rightly that failure to keep the Sabbath is an evil thing. Now that's a very interesting use of wordage there, because we're seeing a lot of times in our day opposition to the Sabbath day. People want to take the fourth commandment and say that it is no longer a moral issue. Well, this passage here certainly eliminates the idea that there's no morality involved in keeping the Sabbath. Nehemiah says very clearly it's an evil thing, connecting it to our morals. Some want to say that it's not a moral command. We actually looked at some of those. I won't go back over that again. We looked at that earlier. Some folks want to say it's not a sin to use the Sabbath for their own purposes. And Nehemiah says otherwise. So Nehemiah also says, "Why do you think we're having to rebuild the city of Jerusalem in the first place? It's because we violated the Sabbath before. And yet here we are doing it again." He basically asks them, "Have you not learned? Do you not know what happened before?" Verse 19. "So it was at the gates of Jerusalem as it began to be dark before the Sabbath that I commanded the gates to be shut and charged that they must not be opened until after the Sabbath." I love that. That's the role of a civil magistrate right there. Shut the businesses down, close them. That's a godly and biblical thing to do. "Then I posted some of my servants at the gate so that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day. Now the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares, they lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice." So in a perfect world, then everyone would just put down their things and close their businesses and enjoy the Sabbath, and then they would take them back up again on a Monday morning, and then they would go back to their business, and they would honor the Lord's holy day. We all know that we don't live in a perfect world. We know and understand the depravity of the human heart. And we guard against the breaking of the commandments of God. That's a right thing to do. Shutting the gates is a right and proper thing for Nehemiah to do. Now, we also want to note that Nehemiah does have the right to do such a thing. Okay, so now if the civil magistrate said, no, we will keep the gates open on the Lord's day, you can't go shut them. And it wouldn't be right for you to do so because it's not your place. It's not your station to do that. But you can do what Nehemiah did. Go complain that there's a certain rule, the magistrate, to shut the gates. Nehemiah does the right thing, the wise and the proper thing, and the one that we pray to see more of in our own day, actually. Nehemiah closes the gates, he shuts down the businesses, and he's exercising his authority properly. And we're going to see then next week that that's the proper role of a magistrate in guarding against violating of the Sabbath day. But the question then comes is, does this solve the problem? It's the right thing for Nehemiah to do, but does Nehemiah turn everyone into being Sabbath keepers? No, they just camp outside the gate and they wait for someone to open. So honoring the Lord and keeping the laws and closing businesses, whatever habit that you know that we can come up with to honor this commandment, that's not going to make people love the Lord. It's not going to make people, they'll just go home and violate the Sabbath. So you can't even as a church, we cannot make people love the Sabbath day. And we can structure the day in such a way that, you know, we're here and we're loving the Lord and we're worshiping and learning. But you can sit in the pew of a church or a chair and you can wish you were somewhere else. And you can violate the Lord's day even sitting in church. So we don't, and we all do that. Our minds wander. We don't keep it perfectly. But it's a good point to make that Nehemiah is not solving the problem, because we can be sitting under preaching of the Word of God and we'll still be violating the Sabbath in our hearts. And that's really where the problem lies. It's within our hearts. So don't think then that just because you shut the gates that somehow all is well and that you've done God a service. There's more to keeping the Sabbath than shutting the gates. The Sabbath, remember, is a thermometer. It's a way to measure in many ways your love for God. If you don't want to be here, being here and not wanting to be here does you very little good. We have much work to do in the honoring of the Sabbath day. We have much business to do during the Lord's day in the hearing and reading and obeying the Word of God and serving others and worshiping with one another and praising and praying and serving the Lord. What we want to do then is to labor to remove the mall from our hearts. And we can shut the doors of the mall, that's one thing. But until we get the mall out of our hearts, we're not honoring the Lord's day. And that's a sanctification that takes place over time. There'll be a time when we don't care about those things anymore. We want to be in the Lord's house. So it's a heart issue. Let's close up here with... I want to read question 118 before we close. But let's close with verses 21 and 22. Then I warned them and said to them, why do you spend the night around the wall? I wish I could do like a big voice here, like a kind of a tough, you know, yelling. I can see Nehemiah doing this. If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. And so they left. So Nehemiah must have been pretty convincing. I don't know. So shutting the gates, it didn't make the problem go away. The pagans set up camp outside, and the men of Judah had not shown any particular concern for the law of God before. The pagans knew that. I think they understood that it was only Nehemiah shutting the gate. And if somehow they could get the gate open, then they'd be able to sell their stuff again. They knew the people of God. Nehemiah warns them to leave, and they leave. So I want you to notice that Nehemiah applied the law of the Sabbath, and we've talked about this so far. He applied it to the Gentiles and camped outside of Jerusalem. So is the Sabbath day just for Christians? Some people say that. No, it's for everyone. And Nehemiah makes sure that you know that he's making the men of Tyre obey the Sabbath as much as he is in his ability to do. The Sabbath was, as it is now, for all men, not just for Jews. And I love the fact that that comes out so clearly in the passage. Interesting to note, another application here, is that Israel was now under the control of foreign leaders. So there were all these other factors involved before they had the freedom to maybe keep the Lord's Day, and now they may not have had that at this particular time. So other things to keep in mind, sometimes when we end up with pagan rulers and kings, whoever rules us, it's because over time we become pagan ourselves. You know, we choose those people to be over us in our country. Verse 22, "And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, they should go and guard the gates and sanctify the Lord's day." And Nehemiah then establishes rules and practices, sets them up to honor the Sabbath day to make sure that sinful men don't wander back into town to violate the Lord's day. So let's end up our time with question 118 as we're introducing the role of superiors in keeping the Sabbath. God has given a special responsibility to those in places of leadership. And notice how the larger catechism draws out specifically how those who are governors or governors of families and superiors have a greater role in keeping the Sabbath day. And you don't always see catechism questions that notice this distinction, but it's special with the fourth commandment. Listen to question 118. "Why is the charge of keeping the Sabbath more specially directed to governors of families and other superiors?" Isn't that an interesting way to word the question? It's directed to everybody, right? But it's specially directed to people with authority. I think that's so telling by the way the question itself is worded. "The charge of keeping the Sabbath is more specially directed to governors of families and other superiors because they are bound not only to keep it themselves, but to see that it be observed by all those that are under their charge." And you can see then, we'll draw this out next week, how more people that are under your charge, the greater the responsibility in keeping the Sabbath day. So if your family is one thing, but what if you were the mayor of a city? Or what if you were the president? You've got a lot of people under your charge. You have a greater responsibility. The last part of that answer, question 118, says, "And because they are prone oftentimes to hinder them by employments of their own." You can cause a lot of people to violate the fourth commandment if you have authority over a number of people. So then Nehemiah's reforms, as we're seeing today, this is one of the proof texts for question 118 of the Larger Catechism. So our goal next week is to expound on question 118. This is one of the proof texts for that. I think it's a very good background as we move that way. And the Jeremiah passage we mentioned earlier is a proof text too. Jeremiah 17. These passages clearly teach a responsibility that superiors bear in protecting others from openly violating the Sabbath day. So I want to encourage you this week, as we do prepare for next week, to meditate upon question 118 and the proof texts as we get ready to hear the sermon next week, the Larger Catechism, and consider what your role is in defending the Sabbath, whether you be a parent, a business owner, civil magistrate, whatever it is. See how you fit into that that question and answer. Now, as we close, I do want to make it very clear that the reason why the Sabbath is neglected in our day is because of the failure of generations before us, specifically in our nation, to keep the day holy. There were battles over this subject 150 years ago about whether mail would be delivered or whatever would happen. And over time, incrementally, we've come to the place today where there are hardly any types of laws on the books to keep people from doing things on a Sunday or the Lord's Day. So we do want to see then that we're not trying to place blame or point fingers. It doesn't matter whose fault it is, but it does matter to me because it matters in this world what I leave behind. And it matters to me who those who are under my authority when I'm gone. Now, I can't change the laws of our nation. And I can't be a Nehemiah. But I do have authority over a certain number of people in my life. And so it is my role then to honor the fourth commandment as whoever those whom I have that superior status. So whatever capacity then God has given to me or to you, whatever energy or influence that we have, let us use it for the protection and the preservation of the Sabbath day. If we can shut the gates, then we should. If we can destroy the strongholds of Satan, we should. And we can't complain about the power of Satan and the darkness that is around us if we're not willing to put our effort into turning on the lights. And that's one of the ways that we do that, is by shutting the gates. So let's make our lives meaningful. Let's make our lives purposeful and significant in building of the kingdom of God on earth. And let's be willing to do what needs to be done to change the world in which we live through the means that God has given us in whatever place and station that He has placed us in. And we have much work to do. And we encourage you today to do the work of reformation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the great and honorable example of Nehemiah in preserving your law and society. Might we be encouraged onward toward our duty of teaching your commandments to our children and to our society and to our world. Help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to find a strength that we didn't know that we possessed, to do great things that we never even imagined that we could do, all for the sake of Jesus Christ, by His strength and for His glory. The Lord of the Sabbath, we pray. Amen.